You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Charles Humphrey III from the Songs from the Road Band is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles, the part-time collective of musicians from Western North Carolina turned full-time touring band has just released their latest album, Pay Your Dues, an album that began its recording process during the pandemic. Hey, Charles, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule with all the music and everything you've got going on to talk to us. You're based in near Asheville, right?
That's right. I live in West Asheville, and all of the band members live in the surrounding area.
Is that home for all of you or most of you originally?
It is, which is great. It allows us a chance to get together and rehearse. I know a lot of bands live in different cities, and that makes it difficult. So we're lucky in that aspect.
You and I were talking off air. We have had the opportunity to chat before, but I think maybe even we talked once or twice prior to that. You've got a history with another cool band out there on the road. You got your start, or at least spent some time with the Rangers, right? Steep Canyon Rangers?
That's correct.
And how long were you with those guys?
The Songs from the Road Band has been touring, I think we're going on about 6 years now. So when we had the opportunity to put the band on the road full time, we took advantage of that. Mark Shimmick was playing with Larry Keel for 13 years as well, and Sam Morton had some obligations. And then we found an amazing fiddle player in James Schlender and a banjo player, graduate of East Tennessee State University, Mr. Gabe Epstein, has been with us probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, so cool.
Are super excited with the band and the music and our team, you know, like booking and publicity and all that stuff. And it's picking up. You know, it was really busy before COVID. I think we did over 200 shows a year, just kind of out there paying our dues. And then COVID hit, and it was like a reset. We actually joined a booking agency during COVID, which is kind of hard to believe that somebody would actually hire a band when there's no gigs.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like we are just hitting our stride now with Pray Today. So we're super thankful. You know, I don't think we'll go back to doing 200 shows a year, but we are doing a nice mix of listening rooms and festivals and starting to get out of our region more and explore places like the Northeast and out West.
Yeah, that's cool. Was there was it always the intention to be full-time, or was it kind of one of those side projects that I see a lot of guys in different bands in their time off, or, you know, when they're home, they got some guys they hook up with, and it's just kind of a way to keep your chops together, but doesn't always go full-time.
Songs from the Road started out as an outlet for songwriting and original songs.
Yeah,
so the band was originally a recording band, and we would always incorporate a lot of guests. You know, we've had Bobby Britt, John Stickley, Andy Thorne, Andrew Marlin, Robert Greer, Phil Barker, Jonathan Bird. Just a list of people kind of in our sphere to come in and sing and pick on some of the songs. And then once Mark and Sam and I could all go full-time, it turned into a touring band. But it always been a great outlet for original songs. And we, you know, we did four records like that. And in the spirit of having guests, we have a guest, Darren Nicholson, on our new album. But other than that, the records are kind of like focusing the core touring band now. But every now and then we'll bring in a collaborator or someone to collaborate with us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and Darren actually just launched his new band, right?
Yeah, he did. He is leading his own band. And it's been quite successful from what I gather. I see a lot of his songs on the charts.
Yeah.
He and I do a lot of songwriting together. So I usually know what's going on with him. And he's one of my favorite people to work with. Such a nice guy. And just a huge talent.
Yeah.
Huge talent.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. So the new album, do I understand correctly, is called Pay Your Dues? Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, and that's the one that you guys just released. But you've been working on that a while, though, correct?
Yes, we had several singles leading up to it. We started it like the day COVID started.
Okay.
We were in the studio, and the producer's like, y'all got to leave. We don't know what's going on in the world. We're like, really?
Oh, my God.
We're all here together. Can we just finish the record?
It's been almost 2.5 years, whatever. Yeah, that was a weird time. It's easy to kind of forget about it, you know. It's like we're not really back to normal, but we're sort of back to normal, or we're trying to get back to normal. And you don't think about how, like,
it seems like forever ago,
right? And in that moment it was like, okay, yeah, what, the bomb went off, what happened, I don't know, we got to go home, you know. It was you kind of put that stuff out of your mind, I guess. But so you
that
guys have been kind of cooking this for a while then.
We have. I mean, it's great. I think we picked a nice batch of songs that kind of go together, some strong material in there.
Now, were most of these songs then were written prior to that then, correct?
With the exception of a few of them, probably the ones that our current banjo player Gabe are on, that would be like Amarillo Blue, You Left Your Lonely. Those were written during that time. During COVID, I turned to songwriting. I was doing two sessions a day on Skype.
Wow.
With various writers around the country. I think I wrote 140 songs.
Oh, wow.
And there were a couple that just came out. And I was like, oh, man, we've got to go in and cut these songs to put on this record. And a lot of them were tunes written with Nick Dauphiné and Marty Dotson. Marty's a songwriter in Nashville, very successful. And Nick Dauphiné, people would know from touring with Larry Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great singer and guitar player. Actually, he plays everything. So, yeah. And, you know, I think that was the advantage of taking our time on the record, too. We had more material to choose from.
Mm-hmm. You said over 140 songs. That's amazing. You know, some people struggle to get 10. obviously, you didn't have a whole lot of other things to focus on during that period of time. But were those songs that you completed and either you guys or somebody else has recorded, or was that just the culmination of all of that time together?
So when I write, I make an appointment. I co-write, and we'll start. I like to start from scratch. I tell people don't show up for too much because we don't want to change anything and hurt anybody's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very rare that it takes longer than 2 hours, and we'll do a little work tape and have our lyrics, and that song's done. And then, you know, it's just a matter of finding a home for it. Mm-hmm. And, yes, some of those songs did find homes. I think they recorded a bunch of them. The Grascals recorded in a nice song. There's some other that have been put on hold by various national bands. And that's always exciting when other people want to record your work. You know, I'm a big, always say, write what's in the room, you know, whatever the writers are feeling that day. And then it'll kind of find its own home.
Wow. That's cool. So this album, you guys actually got to release at Merlefest. Is that right?
We did. We're so excited. We have been playing there for the past 3 years with Jim Lauderdale. We had our own set this year on the cabin stage, right in the break of the rain and the lightning. And yeah, that was the day the record came out. So, you know, we got to tell everybody about it and sold a bunch of CDs and vinyl records. And it was just thankful to be there. I mean, such an honor. What a historic festival. This was the 35th year that they had done it.
Yeah. 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 That was, we were there during that whole experience, including the rain and the thunder and the lightning. talk about releasing your record with a bang.
It always rains, but the lightning was kind of a bummer.
Oh yeah, and the mud. So the mud this year was just, but that's okay. Merlefest and rain seems to go together, and it's always a great festival, no matter what happens.
You're right.
You know, they always seem to pull together such an amazing lineup. Anyway. Tell me a little bit about the collaboration with Jim Lauderdale. I've seen you guys work with him a couple times. How did that come about?
You know, that's a good question. We've been doing it for several years now. We play a lot of festivals for Ernie Evans down in Florida. We're going out into Four Corners on Labor Day weekend in Colorado and Pagosa Springs and playing with him. He and I do a lot of songwriting together. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
And he made a record of North Carolina artists, and he got all these different bands and musicians from North Carolina to be on it. And he recorded several tunes that he and I had written. And then I think that led to him playing that material and using us as a band. And that combined with our history of songwriting together, it was just a natural fit.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of like the perfect band to step in and learn somebody's catalog. I mean, they're just, the soloists in the band are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and Sam can sing like any part in harmony. So it's not difficult for us to back somebody up. I mean, we've done other collaborations with Steve McMurray from Acoustic Syndicate and John Cowan from Bluegrass Revival. And we're just huge fans of Jim. I mean, if you know him, you know how charismatic he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's just got all these great stories.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. I mean, he's like a national treasure.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
we just love playing music with him and are so thankful when we get to do that. And it's nice to be able to go out and work and we're playing Jim songs. You know, it's a totally different show, but
yeah,
we're still like picking and singing. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Well, he's such a down-to-earth guy, too. I mean, if you didn't know him, you would still be able to walk up and talk to him. You know, it's like he's always at the conferences and the events and just, you know, mingling and wandering around and being as friendly as he can be. He's just, you're right, just a treasure to the industry for sure.
Absolutely. He's totally genuine and approachable, which is great.
And a perpetual songwriter. I've bumped into him from time to time, and he looks on approach like anybody else with his phone out and, you know, searching the web or whatever, but he's writing a song. You know, he's recording a lyric or a melody or something. It's so interesting to watch him watch somebody like him or somebody like him put a song together, and it leads me to a question, and maybe it's too ambiguous to answer, but you mentioned earlier being able to write so many songs during the pandemic, and Jim is always writing, and yet I know that there are people that struggle to write. Is there a difference? Is it the discipline? Is it just talent? What makes a difference between somebody that can write like you guys and then somebody that just struggles to find a song a year kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I've been accused, and it's not a bad thing, of being a frying pan writer as opposed to a crock pot writer.
Okay.
You know? And but like Jim, if I'm a frying pan, Jim is like a microwave. I mean, you know, he'll go into the studio with an idea and write the song while he's in the studio and put it on the record.
Yeah.
And that is inspiring. You know what I think that is? I mean, I don't know. It's just my guess. I think it's just having that confidence in yourself, in your material, being able to edit yourself confidently, you know, getting outside of yourself and saying, hey, does this work? Is this as strong as it could be? Does through the verses, support the chorus, you know, was I right to put a bridge here? And he's really good at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course he's got a golden voice, but so I think his confidence is very inspiring. And the more you do it, the more you write with people, the more records you make, it's like anything else. I mean, there's a way to do it. There is a formula. There's
sure.
But that being said, I also tell people that there's no wrong way to write a song.
Right.
So it's okay if it takes a year. It's okay if you come up with the melody first or the words first, or, you know, there's no wrong way to do it. But there are things that you can go through, steps and processes that will lead you to the end. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that outside of just enjoying hearing the story from you guys, they're songwriters or aspiring songwriters. And I find that the comments I get oftentimes are, man, I really liked it when you talked to so-and-so about how they found the songs for the record, that kind of thing. So the little bits and pieces along the way, because everybody, when I ask that question, I almost invariably get a slightly different version of the same answer. But,
right.
You know, what I've learned is everybody has a style, but there is also kind of what you said. There is a kind of underlying, maybe even unspoken format to doing that you kind of have to find that for yourself and then follow that along the way.
Right. For example, for your listeners, I carry a book of titles. I like just titles.
Mm-hmm.
And then myself and the co-writer will go through these titles and say, what resonates with both of us? All right, we jump off. And then I like to try to get a chorus. I like to, you know, if we can get a chorus based on this title. And I've worked with writers where we've written the whole song with no melody, but my preference is to do melody and words at the same time.
Mm.
So we say, okay, we've got this chorus. This is the melody. Now, what's the story going to be? Almost like you're in English class. We're like,
yeah,
all right,
okay.
The first verse is going to be about this. Second verse is going to be about this. And we've got the melody for our chorus. So we say, okay, well, where would the verses go? Obviously, they're not going to be exactly like the chorus. And then so we've written our verses. They don't say the same thing. They support the chorus. And then after that's done, we're like, well, is there anything else to say in the song, or are we done? If we're done, we're done. If there's something else to say that we haven't said or that's going to support the chorus or the story, then we'll write a bridge. And typically bridges would be to go somewhere else sonically to kind of, for mm-hmm. the listener, a mm-hmm. palate cleanser. And they'll usually be in a different meter. You know, they won't be the same length as the verses or the chorus. And generally, you know, they will support the song. And after that, you know, we read it from top to bottom. Does everything make sense? Is there anything that I like to say that we can beat? You don't say anything's bad or anything, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a respect and a confidence for your co-writers where you can throw out anything, and it may be silly or something, but it may lead somebody to the next best idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. No, I appreciate
that's
that.
That's kind of what it looks like for me. Yeah,
yeah, no, that's helpful. I think any type of formalization like that is good for somebody trying to make that work for themselves. So I appreciate that input. So the album again is Pay Your Dues. That's out, came out at Merlefest. What's on the horizon for you guys? Big touring schedule, I suppose, this summer.
Yes. Like I said, we've really hit our stride with Greater Day, and we're booking stuff into 2024. Merlefest was certainly a highlight. We're going to Rooster Walk this year, which is a nice festival.
Yeah, that's back over in Virginia. Yeah,
doing a lot of regional listening rooms. We've got some stuff in Wisconsin and South Dakota, some big folk festivals, and we're going out to Four Corners to do some stuff in Colorado and Idaho and Montana in September, which I'm thrilled about because the fly fishing is so good. My other passion is fly fishing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Outfielder, East Coast anglers, and it's no coincidence that the tour ends up in Idaho and Montana, where the fly fishing is excellent.
Yeah. Do I remember correctly when you're not, are you a trail runner also?
Yes. Okay. I had a illustrious past in trail running. I got into a bunch of long distance races and really enjoyed it. And we used to do some stuff for Canned Aid, which is a nonprofit wing of Oscar Blues. I used to put on a 50K race that raised money for them. And now the band is our Tunes Ambassadors, where we go to schools and play, and they donate instruments for the kids.
That's cool.
to tie it all together, we've also started a new program called Fishing with a Musician, where people can bid on fishing trips with famous musicians, and then they go out and fish with them. And
oh, wow.
I was Arthur Hancock started it. It's a great idea. We've done 1 year so far. There's going to be another event going on this year.
And I love so that.
Not only do I take people fishing, but sometimes I'll take the artist and the winner of the auction fishing. I can take them both out on the boat and have a great day. But it's just a neat program, and we're happy to be involved with CanDaid. It's good to kind of give back, and I think we really enjoy working with kids, you know, because that's a good time to start in music while you're young.
Yeah, for sure. Any new record on the horizon with these being sort of older tunes? Are you looking forward to the next project yet?
We are. We're booking some studio time, and we're hoping to get maybe some holiday music out in December.
Oh, cool.
And maybe release, go ahead and get a couple singles in the can leading up to the next full-length album.
Awesome. That's cool. Well, Charles, I appreciate it, man. It's good to reconnect with you, and I love what you guys are doing. I'm glad you're back on the road and making new music and getting out there and letting guys and letting people enjoy your show. So we definitely wish you the best with that. How do you like to communicate with people? What's the best way for them to find you guys and find your music?
The best way to track us is our website, songsfromtheroadband.com, and then from there we have links to everything social media. And as far as music, we're pretty easy to find. Wherever listeners consume their music, we should be there. Just type in the band name, Songs from the Road Band, and give us a like or a follow, and we'll keep making music as long as they keep coming out to the shows and streaming the songs.
Yeah.
We certainly feel blessed to do what we love, and we couldn't do it without the DJs and the listeners.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.